We appreciate you.
Thank you, brother. If you have your Bibles, we'd ask you to turn to Hosea. Hosea chapter number 10. We're going to begin our reading in verse 9. Hosea chapter 10. As you're turning there, I thank the church for the opportunity to be here today. We thank you for the hotel room. It was very welcomed last night after that long trip. And I know the effort and expense it takes to put something like this on, and I appreciate it very much. Hosea chapter 10, and we're going to begin reading in verse 9. Hosea chapter 10, beginning in verse 9, the Bible says, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood, the battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, and they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed upon her fair neck, I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break the clods. Sow in yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord. Dear Lord, we thank you and we praise you for this book. How time and time again is a living word. It comes to us in the night, it comes to us in our times of trouble, and it encourages us in the Lord. God, we thank you this morning, this evening, for your goodness and watch care. We pray that you would bless the hearts of the hearers with your word. And we'd be faithful to give you the praise and the glory and the honor for them all. For it is in Christ's name that we do pray. Amen. Now, I'll be preaching from really the 12th verse. And the title, It Is Time to Seek the Lord. Now, we live in, and no news blast to this group, but listen, we are in the worst situation as a nation that we've ever known it. It's a very despairing day to live. It is on every possible place there's trouble to be seen. There's difficulty ahead. And with that, you wonder, why don't you come, Lord? Well, I can tell you, and I'm not a very smart man, is because it's not time yet. You know when he'll come? When he's ready to come. You know what he said in the Gospel of Luke? Occupy until I come. And that is what we are to do. We are to hold the land and hold the mark while we're waiting on the Lord Jesus Christ. But have you ever thought about your contribution to the mess we're in?
Amen. Yeah.
See, a lot of people don't like to think about it that way, do they? But I think we all have contributed something, don't you?
Yeah.
And so the Lord, through Hosea, kind of points to that end in this short passage here, that Israel was where they were at because of Israel.
Right?
That's
right.
It wasn't because of anybody else, it was because of themselves. And here in the United States, and even deeper than that, if you don't want to get on toes, our churches are in the situation they are in because of us.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
What makes up churches? Windows and doors? No. People.
Right.
That's what makes churches. And so we live in this very, very strange day, and we see that Hosea really gets down to the point where we could be corrected, where there is hope. Verse 9 again, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. In other words, almost from the very start, there has been sin in Israel. Now, since this flesh is not defeated in salvation, you know what? There's still sin here too. I deal with it every day, and you'd be lying to me if you didn't say the same.
True.
Right? And because of that nature that still dwells within us, then we as the Lord's people we could find ourselves in the same situation. They were defeated there. They were put at bay. And the 10th verse, it is my desire that I should chastise them. Now, this is the part of God no one wants to hear about in 2023, the part that says, I'm righteous and I'm going to judge you. Not real popular preaching, is it? But it is what the Bible says. It's what God, and in fact, He says, I'm going to take pleasure in doing it. No, you know, that you don't get me amens on that one, but that's exactly what the Bible teaches. And you know, Israel had done this to themselves. They refused to follow the God of the Bible. And here we arrive, and it's His desire to chastise them. And the people shall be gathered against them, and they shall bind themselves in two furrows. Now, as an aside, I just want you to see, and the more I've been studying the Bible more recently, the more I see, God always works by means.
Always.
Yes.
You know, when Korah and that bunch got to get up against Moses, what happened?
Earth opened her mouth and swelled the whole pot. You know what the earth is? It was used by God.
That's right.
He always has done it that way. And so here we find again, they were going to be face to face, furrow to furrow, in battle once more. Verse 11, and Ephraim is a heifer that is taught. That means a broken cow. A heifer is cow that is a female cow. And you usually can milk a heifer, usually. And depends on if she's had her baby yet or not. And that, in a way, is compliment. That means that Ephraim was gentle. You think we live in a gentle nation today?
Absolutely
not. I give up on being amazed a long time ago because I know there's going to be something else that comes out, right? But you know how we arrived at this place? Because the church will not say no.
Yeah.
Right? You know, where is it that we began to take our part of the responsibility? You know, we want to be going them. Well, what about us?
Yeah.
You know, looking around our Sovereign Grace churches in 2023, earlier the building was more full, and then they must have seen that I was the next speaker. But you know what I'm saying? Think about how many churches came together to fill up this little building. And it's not just here in Southern Georgia. It's across the whole United States.
Yeah, that's right.
My home church in New Testament, routine Sunday, about 15.
Yeah.
Who are we going to blame? Maybe it's just the day that we live. Well, show me that in the Bible.
Right.
Right? In fact, there's a lot about a great deal about a second harvest. And so we see then that the situation that they found themselves in, they brought upon themselves. And so just in the modern day, in the nation of Israel, all down their line, it was so. In the modern day, a lot of what we deal with in New Testament Baptist churches is what we've brought on ourselves.
Amen.
And then we scratch our head and wonder.
Yeah.
Right? And so we see then that the Lord is saying, I'm going to judge you. He calls Ephraim a heifer and loveth to tread out the corn. Now, we're getting into some like farming terminology. It's a little bit above my level, but he is fixing to assign jobs and say, Ephraim's going to do this, this one's going to do that, and this one's going to do this. Now, we don't have fields like y'all do here in Georgia back home. The fields are very small. We're hill country. Biggest cash crop is tobacco. And that's why, because the fields are so small. And anybody in here ever seen tobacco raised? All right. Now, I was never quick enough to ride the sitter. You know what a tobacco sitter is? I would miss some, so I wasn't allowed to do it.
So you know what I've got to do? I've got to go behind the setter and get the ones that people miss. And that's the worst job of planting into the tobacco field, is going by. And you know, you would know your brother was doing some of it on purpose. And just so that you would have to go out there and do it. And so we see that that's kind of the type of situation, dividing the jobs and saying, you're going to do this, you're going to do this. And at the very end, he says, I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Now notice that the one is going to plow, and that's the big job, but breaking the clods, and I don't know, we raise a garden, we don't raise a cash crop, but we do raise a garden, and there's always some of those little clods that just will not break up. And you always have the youngest child. Right? Young lady looked at me. And that's usually their job, to go back and sift the ones that you miss, right? That was his job. You know, how do you get down to that point? And more than that, are you too good to do it? Mm-hmm. Right?
Right.
You know what? When I had to ride this, after not getting to ride the setter and going back and fixing everything what people had missed, I wanted those tobacco plants to do the very best, right? Because they were mine. And so here we are in this unbelievable situation, and I want whatever's left to be the very best, don't you? I know your dear pastor wants Sovereign Grace Baptist Church to flourish. Right? Are you behind him in that? You know what? New Testament is small. It could very much be like a little clod of dirt. Especially if you compare it to churches that are not real. There's a boy that he and I graduated high school. He was more wicked than me, if that was possible. And now he's a Pentecostal preacher. And man, it sounds like a rock concert from the 80s in that mess. You know what? Their building, and I'm not making this up, is as big as a Walmart. And you know why? Because that's what people want to hear.
Right.
That's what they want to hear. And so we see then, we're in the situation today where our churches, the Lord's churches, we always are quick to claim that, right? The Lord's churches are stagnant. Right?
Yeah.
The Lord inspired Hosea in verse 12, one that will get us all. The instruction is this: sow to yourselves in righteousness. Now, the previous verses, he already touched on this, but if you're going to grow a decent garden, what has to come before you plant? Prepare the soil, right? That's necessary. It's a thing that comes before it. And so he directs them then, now you need to sow. You need to put it out there. Listen, I love the doctrines of grace, but don't ever let them stagnate you in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Get on a street corner somewhere. Proclaim the name of Christ. No, that's not outside the propensity of spreading the gospel.
That's right.
Man, I can't remember which brother was talking. The differences between us, I think it's Brother Pruitt and maybe the... old regular Baptist. No, me and you. And you know what? You know what really made the difference there? Missions.
Right.
Yeah. If you look at their statement of faith, it's not that much different than ours.
Mm-hmm.
So when do we become them?
Right.
Right? And so he makes this statement here. He says, you be prepared, you get ready, and so to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. You know, when I was a kid, I've done a lot of things that I regret. And you young people, and most of you young people are here, I know you well enough that you've been raised well. I'll give you a plus about them wild oats. You have to harvest them.
True.
Yeah.
Yep.
Just keep that in the back of your mind.
Yes.
And so we see very same thing here. We need to be sowing something. Sow to righteousness. You know what? You can't live like a dog and look like the world and sow in righteousness. It's an impossibility.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Do we follow the word of God or do we go with the ideas of man? Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. Now what is fallow ground? Unused ground.
Now, your dear pastor was up with us several months ago now, probably been close to a year ago now. And he will tell you the land in Stewart County is just like this. Just steep, and two rivers runs through the county. So that's one reason it's so steep. And if you go about this far down, you're going to hit limestone. That's the way Stewart County is. So, in my little place, and I don't think that Brother Green got to come with me, I had to give him a lesson in Civil War technology while he was there. But our place, there is 5 acres that's usable, or that I would say is usable. And it's on the creek. And it's as flat as this, and the rest of it's like this. That would be my fallow ground. Right? Now, everybody back home, you don't think this is ridiculous. If you ever come out, I'll show you. We cut our hill away to have a place to put our house. Because back home, you don't waste flat land to put your house on. Because it's valuable.
Right.
And
so we cut up at the side of the hill and put our double wide up there. And down the front is just like this and all the rest of our land. You know, if a farmer came by, somebody from the ag office came by and say, that's useless. And most people would agree. You know what they're saying about you? They're saying you're useless. Break up your fallow ground. There's every one of us in here that has some type of skill that can honor and glorify the Lord. Break up your fallow ground.
Amen.
True.
There's something that we can do. And you know, me and the brothers were talking about that. And we were talking about how much we hated math. And I had one math class I enjoyed in school. And that's because it was specifically made for nursing. And I made a 100 on every test. Best math class I ever had in my life. But you know what? It was because it was useful to me.
Yeah.
It made sense. I take this drug, I mix it with this much saline, and I know I need to give this much of a drip rate to give you the dose you need. It all makes sense to me. You see what I'm saying? It's useful. And we live in a day and age today where we're told the old ways are not good enough. Mm-hmm. We're told that book is outdated. Break up your fallow ground. I don't care what. The oldest person in here, and I don't know who it would even be, the oldest person under the sound of my voice, you have something left to give.
Amen.
And I believe if you didn't, you know what, where you would be?
Amen.
You'd be at the feet of Jesus.
Right?
That's when I believe death will come. And so we see as the Lord's people, I want you to ask yourself, what is your fallow ground? What part are you not using? And use it. Now, back to the place back home. There's a lot of my land, if you till, at least in main time, as soon as we got a good rain, it's gone. But you know what? I know the master of the wind.
Yeah.
And if he says do it, do it. Preaching brethren, y'all want to start a Sovereign Grace Baptist Church, San Francisco? Well, do it if God tells you to.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Build it next to the biggest gay bar out there.
Yeah.
Right? See, we've got way too used to saying we can't.
Right.
Have we not?
Yeah.
Break up your fallow ground.
Amen.
Break up the part that's not been used in a long time. And I will guarantee you, by the works of the Lord, He'll bless it. So now that we've got the fallow ground, the unused part usable, it's being worked again. He says, for it is time to seek the Lord. Now, this is another one of those iffy things with Sovereign Grace churches. Because I had Sovereign Grace preacher tell me, and I was just talking, I said, you know, God's people really need revival. And that's true.
Yes, it is.
And he said, well, we have revival every week at, and I won't say their name, so-and-so Baptist Church. And I want to say, you don't even know what revival is.
Yeah.
Because if you had it all the time, you would know what a commodity it really is. I would dare say I'm 55 years old, or soon will be, that never in my lifetime have I seen a genuine revival. And those of you that might have a few years on me, you might have, but I'd say they're few and far between. Right? And we need that in the modern day. We need that. What do you do to seek the Lord?
Yeah.
It told us, seek ye the Lord, right?
It says.
So how are you going to do that?
Yeah.
I don't think God's ever asked us something to do something that we couldn't, do you?
Right.
He says, seek the Lord. Get your fallow ground broke up, and now seek the Lord. Prayer.
Amen.
The Word of God.
Yeah.
The foolishness of preaching.
Yeah.
All right?
Amen.
There's lots of ways to seek the Lord. And you know, a lot of times, you know, we as Sovereign Gracers, well, God just wasn't in it. Hmm. You know what this is? It's an excuse for laziness.
Yes.
It's an excuse for laziness.
Amen.
And so we see then that the Lord would have us to pray over this situation. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, the end result is what He desired. You keep praying till He rains down righteousness.
Amen.
You know what? That could be a long, long, long time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know what? You know what? In modern day, what we want? That quick.
Yeah.
Quicker if we get it, right? I know the other day, and I caught myself, and I'm like, Larry, what are you doing? Donna and kids was going somewhere. I was strumming through the house looking for something to eat. And there was stuff there to eat, and I should have grabbed some. I'll just run up to the store. I'm like, what are you doing? You got a refrigerator full of food, and you're going to go up to the store to get a sandwich? You know why? It wasn't instantaneous. I didn't want to wait.
Yeah.
Now, having the fortitude to admit that is one thing, right? But what about when it comes to things of God?
Amen.
What do we unanimously do if we pray for something and it's not, and I won't say we get what we want, but at least it's not impacted by the Lord? Well, it just wasn't His will.
Preach it, brother.
Yes. Yep. Right? I mean, that's what we do, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When here it says to keep praying.
Amen.
And keep praying.
Yes.
And keep praying some more.
Amen.
And you know what? There's no point of getting off. And so you can ask yourself, and only you can answer it, is your fallow ground broke up? And if your fallow ground is broken up, are you in a time of prayer? And are you anticipating at the very moment that He's going to rain down righteousness? You know, people, now I don't have an issue with rain. Obviously, I'm not going to melt, right? But now, The women I work with there at the nursing home, you come in, you can see if they're calling for rain at all, you go in, there's like 9 umbrellas stacked in front of the front door. Yeah, well, must have predicted rain for the day. You know what? In a way that's good, they're participatory.
Yeah, right.
Or you. You ever go out on a Monday morning ready for work and see a little cloud going by, you go, I wonder if that's the one. That's being anticipatory, right? That's look. We all think, oh, it's going to be this, it's going to be that. You know what? I fully believe this. You know, when the Lord shall return, I believe it'll be this. When the last elect is saved, we're going home.
Right.
But I don't know. I mean, the elect or not, they don't have a big E in their forehead, so we just got to keep looking, right? And so, what do you do in anticipation? Is your crop going to be raised? Now, I want to read very quickly, and I'm sorry I did not look at when I started, but this won't take us long. Very familiar verses of Scripture, the Gospel of John chapter 3. We read of a religious man named Nicodemus. I think he did become a believer. I don't think it's recorded in the third chapter that we're going to read just a bit from in a minute. But I do want you to see that what the Lord said to Nicodemus knocked him off his feet. What we find really in the recording of Nicodemus is this, is that religion will not help you. And you remember Lydia, the seller of purple? What did it say? It said two things about Lydia. One, that she worshipped God. But you know what? I believe Lydia was as lost as a goose in a hailstorm until she talked to Jesus. Religion will take you alive and dead. Now, I love being a sovereign preacher. I love being a Baptist. But that's not going to get me to glory.
Right? Yeah, true.
I've been born again. That's the only thing, right?
Right.
And so Lydia had all that religion. But then right there in the middle of Acts 16, I think it's 16, he says, whose heart the Lord opened. Ooh, I could preach on that. It's dark.
Yeah.
Right? But, you know, when someone asks me about redemption, I often tell them the story of Lydia. And I just leave it there. Because the rest is up to Christ.
Right.
Right? And so we find that the religious Nicodemus approaches Christ. In the first verse of chapter 3, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do the miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Now, I want you to see that what brought Nicodemus to this situation was not his interest in his destiny of his soul.
True.
What got him there was, man, this man is healing people.
Mm-hmm.
Probably a little bit too, you know what? There were a few not at the, down at the synagogue last Saturday, and I want to know where they're at.
Yeah.
Right? That was the situation that we're in. And so, certainly Nicodemus did not come seeking Christ. He did not come looking for the person of the very living Son of God. Verse 3, and Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, a lot of people will leave it there. And you know, this is the thing. It's one of the Armenians' favorite texts, but they don't even follow their own text. What did you do to contribute to your natural birth? Zero.
Amen.
I didn't say, Mother, Daddy, if it works out for y'all, December 19th is looking pretty good to me. Right? Had nothing to contribute.
Amen.
That's the same way with being born again.
Right.
That's why this shook old Nicodemus to the core. You know what? If all you have in here this evening is religion, you'll die and go to hell too.
Amen.
Do you know Christ? That's the only answer. That's the only question. And listen, I have talked to some old people. I've worked with the elderly all my professional life. In fact, when I was a 17-year-old boy, I knew a man who was 110 then. He was the son of freed slaves. And you know what? Come down to this. Do you know Jesus? An old Pappy, it's what everybody called him. I don't even know what his real given name was. We called him Pappy. You know what? He couldn't even read and write that he professed Christ.
Amen.
So we see then, the question really comes down to this. Are you religious or are you saved? Because, see, saved people have the humbleness to admit, I have some battle ground. I have some things I'm not doing. I have some things that are not being useful unto Christ, and I'm willing to give them to Him. That's what a saved person will do. And so he tells Nicodemus he has to be born again. Nicodemus totally misses it. And I'm going to go down to verse 9. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? You know, I had an older brother and older sister, and then I had a couple half-brothers that were younger than me. Now, my older brother, he made me look calm. I mean, he was a child of the 70s, the bushy, weird hair, and the whole bit. And so when I came along, started high school especially, those guys over there, and said, Lafferty, you know James? I'm like, yeah, that's my brother. But you know what? It turned out being good, because when I compared to James, man, I look good. I wasn't nearly as much troubled. But you know what? You can compare yourself to other people.
Yeah.
But it don't matter how good you look.
Right.
Do you know Christ?
Amen.
I made a false profession when I was 8 years old. Nothing wrong with preaching about hell. You know what? We need to know how hot and everlasting hell is. That is the reality. It's where people that hate God are going to be cast into one day for all eternity. And we do need to know about that. But some well-meaning men taught little children into something that was nothing more than fear tactics.
Yeah, that's right.
And I had that at 8 years old.
Yeah.
But praise be to God, when I was 12, the good little Lackery boy saw how vile and wretched I really am.
Amen.
Grace it.
Yes.
If you don't have something to compare that to, listen, make your calling and your election sure.
Yeah.
You know what? I want a faith that I can lay down my head at night, and if I wake up in glory, I'll be okay with it. And if your faith doesn't compare to that, dear friend, I would find something out. Now, very quickly, I promise you, I'm almost done. Go with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 7, just a little ways over, and we're going to read a couple of verses. With our friend Nicodemus again, Gospel of John chapter 7, verse 41. And there's this group gathering against Christ. In 41, and others said, this is the Christ. This is the Christ. But some said, shall Christ come from Galilee? Now drop down to verse 50. And Nicodemus saith unto them, he that come to Jesus by night, being one of them. Now Nicodemus saw this contention rising, and now we find it says that Nicodemus was identified as one of them. So somewhere between chapter 3 and now, Jesus had saved him. Now, I know none of you would do this, but I want to point out what's missing. Nobody asked Nicodemus to repeat the sinner's prayer.
Amen.
That's right.
Nobody, I mean, we don't want anything to happen after that, do we?
Right.
But somewhere, just like old Lydia, God opened his heart.
Amen.
And he saw Christ, and he loved him. You know what's a good measure of your faith? How much do you love Christ?
Yes.
You know, tomorrow evening sometime I'll head out of here and I'll go back to Tennessee, and I'm already looking forward to being back with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I love her. We've been together since we were literally teenagers.
Mm-hmm.
35 years just in marriage coming up just very shortly. And that shows the love.
Yes.
You know what? I don't want church members that I have to get out and drag to church. Do you?
Amen.
I'm not interested in it. You say, well, you don't have a compassion for souls. Yes, I have a compassion for souls. But if they don't love Christ enough to get here on their own, what am I supposed to do about it?
Yes.
Right?
Amen.
Either you're on or you're off. And then we find Christ. Well, we find Nicodemus going in secretly. Joseph of Arimathea had gone and said, please give me his body. Just let me have his body. I'll take it. No Nicodemus, no longer embarrassed, no longer ashamed. Him and Joseph of Arimathea went and got the body, and they put the oils on it, and they wrapped him up in the course of the Jews, and they put him in a new sepulcher.
Yeah.
You know what? Nicodemus' life was changed.
Yeah.
Yeah. He broke up his battleground.
Amen.
And now, 2 years later, he's being used. Now, to me, 2 years isn't a long time to wait. But do you think Nicodemus got discouraged at times? Do you think Nicodemus was a little apprehensive whenever he had to defend Jesus? A little upset? Probably so. But you know what that did? That didn't destroy his faith, it built his faith. So he could boldly go in and bury the earthly shell of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what real faith will get you.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't know what fallow ground you have, but I do know this, that every one of us under the sound of my voice don't do everything that we can be doing. Now, you may have a rocky spiritual hillside, just like most of my land in Stewart County, but I'll tell you what, it is good for something. Now, and this is going to build sovereign grace off the top. And it's your responsibility
yes.
to find out what that is.
Yes. Yeah. Amen.